Welcome to the Mount Carmel Veterans Voice Podcast, a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center presented by USAA in partnership with Star Dental Institute and the Together We Smile Foundation. The Veterans Voice originates from flagship station KRDO News Radio in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm your host, Mike Lewis. We've got a good program for you today, and let's let you know who our guests are in our first segment, which we're going to be talking to Abby Westfall, Mount Carmel Behavioral Health Retreat Coordinator. Abby, welcome to KRDO.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right. We're glad to have you here, and we've got some great information we're going to be sharing in just a couple of moments. Also, community partner Chester DeAngelis. He is the program director at Stable Strides. Chester, welcome to KRDO 2.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Well, tell us what you do at Stable Strides. This sounds really fascinating.
Yeah. Stable Strides provides health and healing through horses. So we provide different services that you would typically see in the community. We add horses to the process. So that's physical therapy, occupational speech therapy, as well as mental health therapies with horses.
Abby, I want to go back to you because you said something before we actually started recording the podcast, and I think I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about that.
Sure.
Most people that listen to the news and around the military have heard the term PTSD, mm-hmm. post-traumatic stress disorder. But you said PTS. What's the difference?
So that's a really great question. Typically, when we think of PTSD, we think of kind of the full gambit of what that might look like. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that we understand that most everybody has some level of post-traumatic stress. Mm. It's a smaller scale without meeting the qualifiers with behavioral health clinicians. We follow the DSM-5. So to meet the full criteria for the post-traumatic stress disorder, mm-hmm. They have to hit a number of check marks, if you may, according to the DSM. So that being said, what the DSM does not include is that level of post-traumatic stress. And people can acquire that through a multitude of different experiences. Car accidents, of course, combat-related experiences, abuse, it can fall into a number of different pieces of it, but it's a smaller scale than the actual PTSD full diagnosis. And that's would be most of the things that we target in treating behavioral health symptomology.
So when we think of PTSD, most of the time we think about somebody who was in combat and experienced some trauma, mm-hmm. but this sounds like PTS. As it can be non-combat related, a lot of other things going on there, as you mentioned.
Absolutely, absolutely. Nobody is immune to experiencing some kind of traumatic event. Like I said, it could be as something as simple as one car accident, where there was no fatal injuries necessarily involved, but people are experiencing some of the psychological and the what we would call somatic bodily sensations, bodily symptoms, kind of a hypervigilant state, really on edge, feeling a little bit more reactive in some of those moments that might be a trigger or a reminder of that event in particular.
And one of the things you do and specialize at Mount Carmel is helping people that are dealing with PTS heal.
Correct. Correct.
All right.
Yes.
And it looks like horses are a great way to heal. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely they are.
Well, Chester, let's go back to you. Tell us how your program is helping people, get over their PTS and other issues.
Yeah, so we've found that partnering with horses speeds up treatment as well as gives longer results. So if someone's working in the office, per se, with Mount Carmel or with another mental health agency, they can often add equine therapy, equine-assisted therapy, to their treatment plan, and then that might help bring quicker results since the horses kind of allow the client to work through a lot of the symptoms. Like Abby said, sometimes symptoms are triggered by events or reminders. Different interactions with the horse can trigger the client to actually respond in the ways that they'll find that they respond in the community. So let's say someone gets anxious by new situations, mm-hmm. They can the horse actually triggers those in a healthy way, and then they work through those coping skills and those strategies that they use in the community. So they actually practice the skills they're learning mm-hmm. in a safe environment with the horse. And then they can go out into the community and be stronger in those coping mechanisms.
And if I understood you correctly, you were saying there's a different interactions, maybe mm-hmm. riding the horse or simply being around the horse, feeding the horse.
Yeah.
So it's different things that are going on with the animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Not all of our clients ride. Actually, the majority of our mental health clients don't ride. Mm. And they do groundwork with the horses. So they'll groom, they'll lead, they watch the horses interact with each other. And that allows them to understand the horse's communication styles with each other, therefore how they'll also communicate with us. Horses will never learn our language. We have to learn theirs. So it allows them to kind of build empathy with the animal, build empathy with someone else, and then the horse in turn builds trust with the human.
That's terrific. I interviewed someone, not on this program, years ago, and he uses horses for leadership building.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that the benefit that horses can bring to help people.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. And Abby, you've got some upcoming retreats, is that correct?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And we're really excited to bring these to the show today to get more people involved. We have quite a few openings left in our April 13th retreat, which will be geared towards active duty and veterans, individuals. That, like I said, is on April 13th, and it would be a half-day retreat. So we're looking at about starting 8 o'clock in the morning till 12 p.m. in the afternoon on a Saturday.
And what are some of the topics you're going to be doing in this retreat?
So similar to some of the things that we're discussing, we really want to create opportunities for people to experience the horses. As Chester was saying, their horses are a very beneficial tool. We kind of think about them as a median. They tend to be mirrors of what's going on. They're very sensitive to the emotional state of the person that they're interacting with, very social creatures. So it can be a really great opportunity for people to experience in the moment what's happening for them and acknowledge it so that they can find their own way of working through that. It brings a lot of the emotions to the surface. So our activities are creatively intermittent throughout the half-day retreats so that we can provide those opportunities for people to experience it in the moment.
That is fascinating that you can get feedback on what's going through you by just being around a horse.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, we're very similar in that sense. Most of our communication is somewhere between 65 to 70, or sometimes 80% of our communication is nonverbal, and horses play that out for us. So it allows opportunities for skill building and enhancing that connection both to others and ourselves and recognizing what's going on in that moment.
And the information I was given tells me that you were inspired by what your father served as a volunteer EMT and a grandfather and uncle served in World War II in Vietnam.
Yes, I have. Most of my family has been very volunteer-oriented and community-oriented in their mindset. And I went to school as a social worker and gained my license working with at-risk youth, trying to help target some of those communities that could use this, absolutely need the support. And we all on different levels need that support. And I'm happy to give back and serve the role that I'm happy and privileged to serve the role that I am. I'm in Mount Carmel.
And I was going to say, having some relatives that have served in the military, you understand the special needs that go with being a member of the United States military.
Yes, I'm absolutely inspired by that.
All right. And you also help at-risk youth, so thank you for doing that too.
Oh, my pleasure.
How long have you been with Mount Carmel?
I've been with Mount Carmel since December of 2018. So I'm still relatively new to the program, the retreat program coordinator position that I'm in, but I'm happy to get in. You know, as I mentioned, I've been a licensed clinical social worker for about 3 years now. And a lot of my experience previous to coming to Mount Carmel has really benefited me and benefited the clients and the people that I serve.
Terrific. Now, Mount Carmel helps active duty people, reservists, retirees, veterans, and spouses.
And their families. Yeah, absolutely.
So if someone wants to take advantage of maybe these upcoming retreats you have coming up, what do they need to do?
They need to reach out to me at Mount Carmel Veteran Service Center. I can be reached at by email. We send flyers out to an email list for folks that have voiced interest in the retreat program, but they can certainly always call Mount Carmel's regular line and be patched in to Abby Westfall.
Terrific. And Chester, if folks want to reach out to Stable Strides, what's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, stablestrides.org, or they can call our number, our office number, and they can find anyone they need there.
Terrific. You know, when you were talking about how horses can help people, I was thinking of therapy dogs, and they do the same thing at a different level in a different way.
Yeah, similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same bonds, though.
Yeah, terrific.
Yes.
All right. It was nice meeting both of you.
Thank you. I actually do have one more plug.
Oh, sure,
plug.
Please. Go ahead.
So we do have two retreats upcoming. April 13th is the one that is focused towards active duty and veterans. And then April 27th, we have a similar retreat partnering with Chester at Stable Strides for teens of military families. As we know that the when a member serves, the family serves along with them. So we want to make sure that we meet that need and we provide unique opportunities for the people that come through Mount Carmel.
Terrific. And we know we've had so many deployments, so that puts an extra strain on the families and their children. It sure
Absolutely.
Does.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, again, nice to meet both of you. Thank you for what you're doing for the military, active retired, reserve, and family members. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. This is the Mount Carmel Veterans Voice, a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, presented by USAA in partnership with Star Dental Institute and the Together We Smile Foundation, all proudly serving veterans, military, and their families. We're moving on to our second segment. And by the way, Mount Carmel is joining the rest of the country in celebrating the Month of the Military Child through April. And we've got a great success story for you. We've got Katie Travis and her dad, Rory Travis, both with us. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So, Katie, you're an Army brat, I hear.
I am. All right. Proud of it.
We have something in common. My dad was an Air Force pilot, so I understand.
Yes.
So we're in that Air Force Army brat mode. All right. Tell us about you're working at Mount Carmel now. You started as a volunteer, correct?
I did. I had to get some volunteer hours in for one of my social work courses at the college, and I wanted to work with veterans. That's why I'm going to school for social work. And it was actually my dad who gave me the idea to reach out to Mount Carmel. So I started volunteering there and did about 100 hours or so of service there. And they loved me so much, they took me on as one of their own.
Terrific. And things going well, it sounds like.
They're going very well.
And of course, we're going to delve into you growing up as the daughter of a dad being in the military. And that has special challenges. I understand that. And anyone who's had that in their background understands what we went through. And Rory, tell me a little bit about your background, please. I know you were in Special Forces, so there's some things you can't tell us, we understand.
Yes. Well, it's interesting you make that comment, because there was a lot of things I couldn't even tell my own family. And even up to the day I retired, I'm pretty sure they didn't really know what I did on a regular basis. So yes, I had a total of 26 years of Army service, 23 of those dedicated to the Special Forces Command. Mm-hmm. So United States Army Special Forces Command. And basically, that career spanned both pre-9/11 and post-9/11. Mm-hmm. So for the Special Forces units pre-9/11, we were going and going and going just as much as we are today, mm-hmm. post-9/11. So, you know, 9 to 10 months gone away from home. Sometimes that was consecutive. So those deployments. And if you weren't deploying, you were preparing to deploy. Mm-hmm. If you weren't preparing to deploy or being gone, you were to school. So most of my career in Special Forces, I spent away from my family.
Yeah, op tempo really changed after 9/11.
Yeah, that actually, our tours and deployments were extended for longer periods of time. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, pre-9/11, communication with family was hit and miss. Mm. Post-9/11, on many of the forward operating bases, we had internet, we had satellite communication phones, mm-hmm. sat phones. Mm-hmm. It was much easier to communicate with your family, or you could at least have that option more often.
At least reach out once in a while and let them know you're okay.
Yes, and that was really important to them.
Now, I understand that you still are doing some work on Fort Carson today in your retirement. What is that place?
Yeah, so I work for the Army Resiliency Directorate, mm-hmm. and actually I contracted them. And what we do as on Fort Carson, we're part of the Ready and Resilient program, which Army's big on acronyms, so we call that R2.
Okay.
So I actually manage the R2 Performance Center at Fort Carson, okay. One of 26 sites across the Army, total Army. So what we do specifically is we provide resilience skills and also performance psychology, kind of based on the field of sport and performance psychology. Oh. So in real basic terms, we're talking defensive and offensive mental skills.
Interesting. Well, thank you for continuing to serve the country. Appreciate
I love
that.
It. I love it.
Yeah, I can tell.
I still have a great team.
That's good. That's good. And you're still around people that you worked with all those years.
It's incredible. I think about it once in a while that I still drive the same way to work.
All right. Nice. Well, Katie, I want to come back to you now, because let's talk about the military child that you grew up being. What were some of the things as you look back that were special challenges because of what your dad was doing?
Honestly, I think the biggest challenges were that he wasn't around. And as a kid, I kind of resented the military a little bit because my dad wasn't there and he was constantly being taken away from me. I had to move. I had to leave my friends behind. We weren't near grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles. But as I grew up, I learned that gave me a better cultural awareness. I think I'm definitely more resilient and tolerant to a lot of things because of it.
You got to see a lot of different places in the country.
I did. some great places in the country. I think my biggest regret too, or my anger towards them, is that they deployed us or moved us over to Germany when I was too young to actually remember it or enjoy it.
Okay. You couldn't drink the beer at that point, right?
I was two. I don't even remember.
I think you barely walk at that.
Yeah.
Time.
I think I was in a stroller in every family photo I look back on.
Now, you are part of the supportive services section at Mount Carmel. What does the supportive services section do?
We do quite a bit. So our main function is to provide resources for our clients that come in need. So those resources can be financial or non-financial. Mm-hmm. The financial resources are when our clients find themselves, our veterans, their families, find themselves in a financial hardship, whether they're still waiting on their GI Bill funds to come through, something happened with their VA disability, they lost their job, maybe due to no fault of their own. Then we connect them with partners locally and nationally. We have great partnerships, and they're able to provide them with rental assistance, utility assistance, car repairs, car insurance, things that help them get through the month and on to the next month so that they can continue their lives. We also are the resource that connects those folks that come in and they just think, I just need money to pay my rent. And then while through talking to them, we realize, why did you lose your job? And maybe it's that they need to be connected to our behavioral health team mm-hmm. or our employment team to get those opportunities up and going for them too. So it's really assessing what barriers they have mm-hmm. so that we're not just giving them that handout of money. Here, we bandaged your problem for the time being. Let's give you a hand up and really help you surpass these barriers and move forward.
So if you're listening right now or know someone who could use this help, don't be shy is what I hear you say. Ask for the
Not
help.
At all. Definitely. Always ask for the help and ask for all of the help. I can't promise we can give it all to you, but we'll definitely sort through what we can.
And I like to remind everyone who's listening to the podcast each week that if you're listening for the first time, thank you. Also, if you're hearing something that you think would benefit someone else, you can share it, you can download it, you can email it to them, because we want to get the word out. We want to help people in Colorado Springs. Mount Carmel, located on the west side of Colorado Springs. If you know where 8th Street is in Colorado Springs, it's just up the hill from 8th Street, so on the west side, easy to find. What's the phone number?
Phone number there is 719-772-7000.
All right. Well, again, thank you for helping the military here in Colorado Springs, their families, and the retirees, veterans. We really appreciate it.
It's always my pleasure.
And Rory, thank you for your service.
Best 26 years of my life.
All right. Sounds like it was. You still got a smile on your face. Yeah. So you're doing something right.
Well, I did this right.
All right. Yes. Nice to meet both
of
you.
Just kidding. I love you.
I agree with that, actually. Your mom deserves all the credit. I wasn't there for it, most of it.
This is the Mount Carmel Veterans Voice, a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center presented by USAA in partnership with Star Dental Institute and the Together We Smile Foundation, all proudly serving veterans, military, and their families. Our next guest is Bob Stadjuhar. You are with the AARP Tax Lead Team. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Well, the folks, it's our pleasure because we've got some important information we want to get out to everyone listening. If you haven't done your taxes yet, well, we got some good news. AARP will help.
That is correct, sir.
Tell us about it.
Okay, we are AARP Tax Aid. We're supported by the AARP Foundation. Mm-hmm. We provide free tax services pretty much to anyone who walks in our door. We have 9 sites, actually, throughout the Colorado Springs area. This year, for the first time, we are at Mount Carmel. Primarily, we want to be there to serve our veterans and active duty military, mm-hmm. but we won't turn anybody away. So whoever walks in will be able to help.
What are the hours that that's happening?
Well, for the rest of this season, the only thing available at Mount Carmel is Wednesday the 10th and Thursday the 11th from 10 until 3.
Okay. And when someone shows up, do they need to call ahead or they just walk in the door?
Well, right now, all the appointment times are filled, okay. but we can still take some walk-ins. So you can come on in, and hopefully there'll be someone be able to service you.
And Bob, what do people need to bring when they show up?
Okay, got to have Social Security cards, photo IDs, and we like to see the previous year's tax return if possible.
Okay, and I understand you'll even file for them?
We do e-file for both the federal and state returns.
Okay, so take advantage of that. If you're listening right now, it doesn't get much better than free filing.
Yeah, one other thing I'd like to comment on. Since those are the last 2 days available at Mount Carmel, we recommend if you still need your taxes done, go on to the website aarp.org, type in TaxAid, that's TAXAIDE, and you can find other TaxAid locations in Colorado Springs because other sites will be open through April 15th.
But time is running out.
Indeed it is.
So don't wait, procrastinate too much.
Right, sir.
All right, Bob, thank you for sharing that important information. Take advantage of that from AARP. And as Bob said, if you can't get in Mount Carmel, go to the website and find other locations in the Colorado Springs area. There are how many locations in the Colorado Springs? 8 sites?
We have 9 total, and that includes Woodland Park, Calhoun, and Fountain.
Terrific. Good to meet you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. This is the Mount Carmel Veterans Voice, a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, presented by USAA in partnership with Star Dental Institute and the Together We Smile Foundation, all proudly serving veterans, military, and their families. Our final segment, we want to bring in Dean Miller. He is with Mount Carmel, and you've got some upcoming events you'd like to publicize.
We do. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. So we just want folks to mark the calendar, particularly with the Easter holiday coming up. We've got 3 big events. On April 13th, there's a family Easter egg hunt and service at Mount Carmel from 11:30 to 1:30 p.m. And additionally, on April 14th, for those with access to Fort Carson, so you'd have to have an ID card of some sort to get on there, Mount Carmel is sponsoring an Easter egg hunt with food, bounce houses, face painting, and more. And again, that's all sponsored by Mount Carmel at Fort Carson's Pershing Field, and it's open again to all with installation access. Additionally, we have an event at Mount Carmel, Living with Chronic Pain and Illness. So this could be all types of pain and challenges from a variety of chronic diseases and whatnot, or any type of physical pain. But there's a fantastic class ongoing, and if you're interested in that, if you just call 303-927-9225, just some fabulous techniques to help people deal with chronic pain and challenges they're having related to that type of issue. And other than that, I'd ask people to monitor our social media, particularly our Facebook site and our website, for upcoming activities.
And make sure you spread the word about the podcast. Dean, always good to see you. This is the Mount Carmel Veterans Voice, a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, presented by USAA in partnership with Star Dental Institute and the Together We Smile Foundation, all proudly serving veterans, military, and their families.